Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F, the N-word. I want you to holler at me. Give me a call, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And y'all know how I do. If you're afraid to give me a call, feel free to email me your questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And when you're doing that, also, you can go to my Facebook Smooth Drama page. Just jump on there. Me or Mr. J will add you. And, you know, we talk about anything and everything under the sun. So if you got something on your mind, I'm the guy to talk to you about. And basically, Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, you know, you add me, I'll add you back, and we can talk about it. Whatever. I'm nice like that. And speaking of being nice, man, this past weekend was awesome. Was at the carnival here in Oakland at Moshwood Park. And all I can say is, like, black folks' energy was in full effect. This weekend, man, I felt like I was back home in New Orleans. It was just like the energy was electric. Live music, folks just dancing and enjoying themselves with no drama. Contrary to popular belief, living here in the Bay Area, Oakland in particular, most folks think that every day you step outside, you're dodging bullets. It's not happening. Now, I'm not saying that dang folks getting shot. I'm just saying that the myth that, hey, we're dodging bullets and it's all negativity, it don't go like that out here. I mean, you think it does, but that's not how we get down here in the Bay Area for the most part. After I done let that go, let me tell y'all, before I get started, my main man, Anton Marks, he just put out his book. It is live for you to get. Now, of course, for the Smooth Drama listeners, if you're interested in Ngong, the Last Prince of Akiba Line, all you got to do is go to AntonMarks.com. And email him and write Smooth Drama in the email, and that you're interested in the copy of the ebook, Ngon, the Last Prince of Akiba Line, and he will hook you up. Just because, you know, that's my dude, and that's how we roll. But I would prefer that you support the brother, and go ahead on and circulate your black dollars. Because he's willing to give it out. And so, I mean, when folks are willing to give out that entertainment, you should be willing to support it. I mean, that's just how that goes. And I understand how serious that is because, you know, printing out these books and putting in your hard work in your heart and soul out there so that you can create a product that your people write, well, not write, but read and listen to and enjoy, depending on what you do, whether it's an audio book or you're reading it. It's a lot. And you know, when people put themselves out there sometimes, and it's enjoyable, you know, I think it's something that, you should support, because it's a karmic energy that goes to you and it comes back to you. At least that's my thoughts. But I'm built like that. Now, speaking of thoughts, I saw California House last Thursday passed Assembly Bill 807, which would repeal the state's 67-year-old Daylight Savings Time Act. So it would give lawmakers the option to keep California on either Standard Time or Daylight Savings Time year-round. Now, if it passes the Senate, the bill would become a ballot measure on the next statewide election, allowing voters to have the final say. A similar bill didn't pass last year. And, you know, the same effort in other states have failed in recent years, with many lawmakers saying, well, keeping states on the single time year round would harm businesses. And as it stands, Arizona and Hawaii are the only two states that do not observe daylight savings time. And so, I mean, for me, it's no big deal. I'm like, why does the time have to go back? Why does the time, you know, why do we even change it? Just like leave it the way it is. Now, according to research, they say that as our bodies adjust to the new schedule, the risk for a heart attack and stroke goes up in the first 2 days after daylight savings. I don't know what that means. It's like, so there's less time in the day. I can catch a heart attack. I'm at risk for a heart attack or a stroke because the clock went back an hour. I'm a guess that has nothing to do with why the time goes back. Just as a guess, I'm thinking it's more your ass is unhealthy because just the time goes back like the time went back and you're stressing out and you have a heart attack yet? No, I don't think so. But I guess they'll throw anything out there as far as research goes, and if you believe that kind of thing, then alrighty then. But I myself don't believe in that kind of stuff. But that's just me. Daylight saving time. Let's get rid of it. Now, I saw something that was really funny. Pornhub. There's a map that Pornhub created. If you don't know what Pornhub is a porn site where you can watch porn. And apparently, they have a map that shows the most common misspelled search terms by state. And so, you know, I'm looking at the map, and California in particular, the most misspelled word in the porn search was porn. I'm like, how the hell do you misspell porn? No, so I start looking at my phone, and I'm like, because, you know, I'm looking at the phone, and then I'm looking at the keyboard, because you figure people are either looking at it on their phone or on their computer. And I can see how it happens, because basically N and M is right next to each other. And so the reasonable expectation is that most folks, they're getting ready to get their porn on. They got their lotion or whatever their lubricant of choice is. They're sitting there in the dark and they're about ready to go. And it's real easy to hit that M. At least that's the benefit of the doubt that I'm giving folks. Now, there's one word, I mean, and it was kind of weird, because it's like when you're looking at the map and you see the different states and what they researched, there was like Washington, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, they in Iowa, they misspelled hentai, and I was like, what the hell is hentai? Because on the side they say the correct spelling was H-E-N-T-A-I. And I'm like, what in the hell is hentai? You know, I'm sitting up there like, I don't know what that is. So I look it up. Hentai is a genre of anime and manga pornography. And I was like, what? Are you serious? Folks watch manga pornography, I guess. You know, I guess, you know, I watch cartoons, but I never thought, like, oh, wow, I'm going to check out this this manga porn. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, and I mean, for the most part, all the states, most of the states was porn and that hentai. It was like three states had lesbian. They spelled lesbian wrong. But there was one state, a couple of them had amateur, but then there was it was like two states that had MILF, spelled MIFL, and it was Ohio and Nevada. You know, if you don't know what MILF is an anagram for mother I like to fuck. It's like, yeah, okay. So in Nevada, in Ohio, it's a lot of dudes that want to hit your mother. That didn't sound right. I'm probably going to stop now. No, I'm not. Actually, Florida. Florida, of all places, Florida and South Carolina, they misspelled ebony. Real weird. Why I'm talking about this, I have no idea. But I thought it was funny, nonetheless. But the funniest thing was there's a man who in Maine was upset because he had tried to petition City Hall in Maine saying, you know, he wanted the general assistance program because he had bed bugs and his former apartment's bed bug problem caused him to get rejected from a new place to live. And so he couldn't get the general assistance. They denied him. So what he did was he came up to the Augusta City Center in Maine, and he said, okay, I don't have a problem. Bed bugs is not an issue. And he had a container filled with over 100 bed bugs, and he emptied it on the counter. When the staff there informed him that he did not qualify for assistance to address his bed bug issue, so he's like, "All right, cool, bam, there you go. I don't have no bed bug problem. Neither do you." And it was like folks just start scattering. And, you know, it was like bed bugs were just everywhere. They're flying everywhere. And, of course, everybody just was like, pew! It was like one dude took pictures. He's the crazy one because he stayed there. And everybody else just scattered. And the employees called the police. And they just, you know, and it's funny. Because we're talking about a situation where is the dude, he's like, hey, I got bed bugs, you know, and that's their, the program is their general assistance where they will help him, one, go in and you know, take care of his bed bug problem. Because they didn't take care of his bed bug problem, he tried to move into another place, and he was unqualified because they said that he was a bad tenant. Now, we know that most of the time, you say 99.9% of the time, it's a slumlord issue. You have bed bugs. You tell your landlord, hey, I got bed bugs. Y'all need to fumigate, whatever. Nothing happens. He's infested, and bam. So his redress is like, I don't have a problem. Well, you don't have a problem either. Here, I'm going to share the non-problem. I just think that's kind of funny. But it goes to show you how nobody cares about something until it's put in their face. They could call the police and get the stuff handled when it's at their doorstep, but when the common man has it at his doorstep, it's not really an issue. So yeah, I'd do it again every time if I was him. It's like, okay, you can't help me? Fine. I'm going to bring it to your doorstep too. And at that point, I think it's time for me to go on break. I need a break. This is MC Light, Cappuccino.
Shut the fuck up.
together you've got smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was MC Light, Cappuccino. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Now, man, I was tripping. You know, normally I talk about the drug of the week. You know, you pick a drug that's out there, legal drug nowadays, and, you know, side effects are crazy. But now, might have to amend that. We've got the procedure of the week. Apparently, there's a company straight out of some old Blade vampire movie. It's a company called Ambrosia, which is a startup company that pays for the blood of people under the age of 25 and then sells anyone over the age of 35 a transfusion of younger blood for $8,000. Now, as of now, this is the only United States company to offer such a service. The process is called parabiosis, in which, according to the definition, two beings are sewed together, their veins conjoined. Apparently, researchers did this to mice in a 2013 study and found that certain aspects of aging were reversed in older mice who got blood from younger ones. But the result hadn't been replicated by other researchers. Now, of course, the benefits in humans are hypothetical, but, you know, that don't mean that there's people who don't believe in that. Now, most of us, when you think of this scenario, you think of vampires, right? I mean, because we talk about, you see it, 1,000-year-old vampires going around, and he's sucking the blood of, obviously, younger people. And it renews them, they're invigorated, whatever, and they can, quote-unquote, live forever. That's the vampiric lore, as we've seen it. Now, whether or not you think of it under them terms is a whole nother conversation. But when you think about it, basically they're saying, Ambrosia is saying, hey, we're taking the blood, and they're paying for the blood of anyone under the age of 25. And they're selling it for $8,000 to anyone over the age of 35. As apparently this transfusion, because it worked in mice, under this process called parabiosis. So they're saying that, well, if it works for mice, and as we know, they use mice for every type of experiment, and humans, of course. We would say humans of color for the most part. But yeah, now most folks don't think of blood transfusion. When you think of blood transfusion, I'm always thinking of all kinds of bad stuff, right? So you don't think of, how is this a good idea? Now, whether or not Ambrosia is going to be profitable, I don't know. But, I mean, if it works, I mean, what what is going to happen. I mean, because, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So, if they're paying for the blood of people under the age of 25, you start thinking, what's the worst case scenario here? I mean, we are, we've never not lived in the age of slavery. It's one of those things that no matter how you change the name, it stays the same. You take people and you make them do things that you don't want, what they don't want to do. You don't pay them for it. Who's to say that you won't be kidnapping and enslaving young people? I mean, sort of like when you look at these farms. You have people, you feed them whatever to make them stronger and last longer in these farms, whatnot, in these scenarios, and you drain blood from them and you transfuse older people. Now, I know it's something right out of a comic book, right? That's what it sounds like. But when you think about it in realistic terms, is it out of bounds? Yeah, it's out of pocket, but is it something that's inconceivable that you can't see that happening? I mean, because I've always thought, you know, that's what the function of jails. Everybody takes a physical. When you're in jail for long term, you take physicals. And I've always thought that prisoners were not only slaves as far as the new workforce for free, but I always thought that they were good for organ harvesting. I always thought that, oh, a dude would get shanked and get killed, and his heart, his kidneys, whatever, was a match for somebody somewhere rich, and boom, that's what happened. Now, you know, obviously, if you're doing this, it would be more of the younger variety of slaves. And you hold them in a facility and you're just draining them. You're feeding them and draining them. You just want to keep them fat and happy. That's pretty much what it is if this takes off. Will it take off? I don't know, but I'm curious to find out if Ambrosia, which is a startup, does it continue? Does it flourish? And do people buy into it? It's crazy, but is it that crazy? For example, right here in the United States, there's a 43-year-old man who was arrested and charged with collecting the blood of area residents. Cole Hong Nguyen was in the D.C. area, and he was paying people $30 each for their blood samples. The police say a number of people went for it. Neighbors said they often saw long lines of people waiting to enter an abandoned D.C. apartment where Nguyen allegedly collected the blood. Nguyen told police he works for Boston Biosource, and that this Massachusetts-based company says he collects blood for research, but police were unable to provide documentation proving he's licensed or certified to draw blood. They also say the blood was not being stored properly, and he's being charged with practicing registered nursing without a license. Now, what do these things have in common? I mean, obviously, first, in the United States, when you hear about them collecting blood samples, whatnot, you know, there's that story of Henrietta Leaks where you took a body part from somebody and you cured stuff. Boston Biosource, they're paying people $30 to collect their blood for research. And And they found the ledger of wins with more than 200 names on it, and that large quantities of blood were found. And police were saying that many of the people were habitual substance abusers. So, now, where Ambrosia is injecting blood and making people younger, whatnot. Let's say that Boston Biosource is doing research, and their research on people with substance abuse issues and people of different races, because I'm guessing in Ledger, they were documenting the races and the sexes of the people that they were collecting blood from. Just educated guess, because, you know, weird things happen like that. And so when you throw that conclusion out there, you say, were they doing something unethical? Are they doing research to help the people? I mean, you know, scientists, they're supposedly for the advancement of mankind, but when you hear about them collecting blood of habitual substance abusers, I'm just thinking they're like, okay, how can we make a drug? Because we're talking about Boston Biosource, which is a drug company, a group of scientists. They're trying to make a drug that could be more addictive to certain people. I'm gonna take that guess. Or if we're getting even more sinister, they're trying to make something that is even more addictive, and that could hook folks quicker and faster, so they can make more money. Just as a thought. And I think I have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How can I help you? All right. Okay, caller. Feel free to call back. I think I lost you there. But anyway, yeah. So when you think of it along those lines, is it inconceivable that a company, especially here in the United States, experimenting using the blood or the cells of the poor and underrepresented, that they'll be doing the right thing? I don't think so. And I think, you know, there's no way they're doing the right thing by people, because it just doesn't happen. Now, speaking of things that don't happen, I know a few people know about Bill Maher, who does the show on HBO. In real time. And he was in the middle of an interview with a Republican Senator Sass. And Sass is a senator from Nebraska. And Senator Ben Sass invited him to come to the great state of Nebraska, which everybody is clamoring to go to, by the way, and said, you can come work in the field. To which Bill Maher's like, Senator, I'm a house Negro. Of course, he said the N-word. You know, and it's like, you know, dude was like, and he just moved on with it. You know, and apparently people are going into a hissy fit, and apparently some super Negroes is like, I'm appalled how the word was so offensive. And how can he say that? How are you not pulling him off the air for saying that racial slur? And of course he comes out and said it was offensive, and I regret saying it, and I'm very sorry. And said HBO is removing this deeply deeply offensive comment from any subsequent airings of the show. I'm like, really? Is people up in arms because he said I'm a house N-word on the air? I mean, it's all in every TV show, and it doesn't get beeped out. Now, of course, in these shows, black folks are saying it. So apparently, if black folks is saying it, it's okay, it's cool. But if somebody white says it, it's a big deal all of a sudden. And in under the context of what he's saying, it's like, look, man, I wouldn't be working in the field. I'd be working in the house. It's supposed to be funny. I guess I was amused. I didn't see it. But when I read it, I was like, oh, I got it. But really, what's the big deal? Who was hurt by that comment? He wasn't calling anybody black the N-word. And I'm like, is anybody not understanding that? It's two white dudes talking. White dude invite him to the field. He says, "Nah, I'm the black dude that's in the field." I mean, he's basically saying, I'm the N-word, and I would be working in the house, not in the field. Like, where's the controversy? You know, because I'm like, I'm Mr. F the N-word. I don't say the N-word. I understand folks say it, and I'm like, if you're going to say it, you can't be appalled that everybody says it. I mean, because black folks say that term of endearment. Oh, it's a term of endearment. It's we feel good about ourselves. We turn the word around, but somebody else says it and the word ain't turned around. Now, if it's offensive, it's offensive all the way across the board. Or it's not offensive. It can't be both ways. If you're going to tongue kiss your oppression, and love it and make love to your oppression and get all hot and sweaty with it, don't be mad when somebody else want to jump in and have a threesome with you. Because that's what it is. That's my opinion. Now, if you agree or disagree, feel free, email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Tell me why you think I should want Bill Maher fired too. I don't get it. I don't feel that he did anything that was out of bounds. He wasn't even talking about anybody black. He was talking about himself. When white dudes start calling themselves the N-word, it's like, are we losing? I'm thinking we got bigger battles to fight than a white dude calling himself the N-word. And all of a sudden, black folks is in arms. He can't call himself the N-word. What's wrong? That's offensive. He called himself the N-word. He's supposed to call us the N-word. I mean, oh, man. It's kind of funny. Black folks is in arms because a white dude calls himself the N-word. But speaking of the N-word, on a lighter note, Jennifer Pennington, a middle school English and language arts teacher from Akron Public Schools, put a whole bunch of signs outside LeBron James' property in Ohio. Three double-sided placards writing the words hero, role model, mentor, humanitarian, leader, and good Samaritan in block letters and put them all across the street, you know, on the side of the street across from his driveway. You know, because she was hurt when she saw the N-word was posted on his house. So she decided to do the exact opposite. I'm not going to call him the N-word. I'm going to call him hero, role model, mentor, humanitarian leader, and good Samaritan. Now, think about that for a second. You want to combat something. She didn't say, well, he's my N-word with the A-H on the end to, you know, to say a term of endearment. She used real praise. Now, listen to this, black folks. She used real praise. She said, you're not the N-word. You're a hero, a role model, a mentor, humanitarian leader, and good Samaritan. She put them signs up. So when you talk about counteracting something negative, you don't embrace it and change the word around a little bit to say, oh, this is a term of endearment. Nah, she used real terms of endearment. It's funny how that goes. When you don't embrace your racism, you fight it a different way by saying, no, I ain't that. I'm this. I define me. And not by using your word, but using mine. Yeah. It's funny how that works out. On that note, I'm going on break. This is T.I., 40 Acres.
In a handbag, he done spent his reparations on the swag swag. A black nigga put your fortunes in a sandbag, laugh at your misfortune, then we put it in a hashtag. Ain't no leaders, only leisure, only reapers. Ain't no sowers, they get higher, we get lower, then it's over. If racism ain't a color, then it's damn so in the class. Got the racists on each other, you got niggas, then it's black. You got crackers, then it's white, separated by the green. That's a 500 years, then we play for the same team. Smoke screen, make the president a black guy. It ain't no reason why you shouldn't have success, right? 40 acres and a mule. Get my reparations on the chula. I bought a time piece. Now ain't no looking back. Now ask them motherfuckers what the fuck they looking at. 40 acres and a mule. 40 acres and a mule. These nigga acting fucking fool. But 40 acres and a mule. Hey, anybody interrupt freedom? Kill him. Word to a Robert F. Williams. Fill him. Never got a sick on my stomach. Ooh. Word to Elijah Muhammad. Ooh. What the preacher ever tell y'all, Jesus Mohammed ain't coming. Woo! I'ma tell y'all what the ancestors should've did when it's in the third vote coming. Yeah, killed every man, child, woman. Yeah, killed every damn thing on it. Yeah, killed everything from most Europeans to the back to the queen like, ho. Whoever stepped your foot in, Kim and bitch, we snitch your throat. We sent the funny fuckboy preacher type back to the boat. Fuck is you and fuck your Zeusa, fuck Medusa. This the school of choppers, do the fast forward to the future. Chopper do you, we them dying and they crying and we screaming hallelujah when them crackers act. On the jeweler, I bought a timepiece. Now ain't no looking back. Now ask them motherfuckers what the fuck they looking at. 40 acres and a mule. 40 acres and a mule. These niggas acting fucking fool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For Zimmerman, fill in my pocket with Benjamin. Who the fuck are you up in the pen? The cracker see me on the him again. They ask at the jet, let the fingers chill. Fuck the police, they crazy, they come. They put you over and are you legit? Ask you for your license when you reaching, they dumb. Not a prison yard like the county. A house nigga snitching, never got him killed. Nigga thought he made it cause he got a deal. First album, post, been out of here. Not quite though, baby. Tell it blow us. 24 hours, I'm a center here. Learn stay silent. Learn most of these streets, they did make college. I'm certified. Don't murder guy, but my nigga still pop civilized. Kill me. Things still right, be the murder case, this nigga like dirty running king, what you mean? Yeah. Get my 40 acres on my mule and my dad, yeah.
40 acres and a mule, I get my reparations on the jeweler. I bought a time piece, now ain't no looking back. Now ask them motherfuckers what the fuck they looking at. 40 acres and a mule, 40 acres and a mule. But 40 acres from the mule.
together you got to move. Drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was T.I., 40 Acres and the Mule. We ain't never going to get that. But I would take my 40 acres. I don't know about the mule. I don't know if you've ever seen a mule. They don't look all that hot. And the last time I saw a live mule was my homie Chuck B., the barber. His graduation, we just happened to walk into the wrong strip bar in Tijuana. Let's just say that she was circling that mule way too aggressively. I had to walk out of there before it was too late, and my eyes are ruined forever. 347-826-7435 is the calling number. Once again, that calling number 347-826-7435. And this is the time in hell. This whole segment, Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Yeah, what is that shit that happened again? I mean, KKK. Apparently, the KKK wants to rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Why? Well, you know, they're contesting the there was a little momentum to get rid of those Confederate monuments down there in the South, and apparently. In Charlottesville, their statue, you know, it seems like there's a statue of Robert E. Lee in damn near every city. It's like he's a redneck hero of all heroes. Anyway, the Loyal White Knights of the KKK, they had applied to hold a rally near the statue. Couple days from now, on July the 8th, city spokeswoman said the permit would likely be approved, saying, of course, people have a constitutional right to assemble. Now, as we know, the KKK aren't necessarily people. I wouldn't turn them as real people. I would turn them as shit, what they are, terrorists. I mean, under the definition of what we call terrorists, you know, people who their whole existence is basically to terrorize and kill other people. Now, of course, they'll say, well, hey, we're for the rights of white people. And most of us could retort that, well, hey, y'all already have rights. You have all the rights. You know, when other folks have to fight for a civil right, you know, equal rights. It just basically it was like, well, hey, can we not be hunted and killed by the KKK? I mean, that's basically what the civil rights movement was all about. It wasn't necessarily about being equal. It was just basically, hey, can y'all stop these cats from killing us? That's all we want. Shit, and hey, if we want to get a sandwich wherever we want to get a sandwich, we should be able to. That was, you know, get a sandwich. Not be equal, not getting a job and getting equal pay and all that other stuff, benefits, whatever. No, it's just, hey, you know, if we wanted to get an ice cream and a sandwich, can we get one? Can we go to your school and be miseducated? That's pretty much what it was. Can we go into the nasty bathroom that you have? That's what the fight was. And so KKK protested. Hey, why y'all want to take down the statue of another terrorist who led a group of terrorists who tried to tear up this country that y'all call the United States of America, that everybody's talking about being a patriot, support the troops, all that other stuff, that y'all never talk about these terrorists and people who celebrate terrorists who tried to tear your beloved country apart. Yeah. Groundhog Day. Example number one for the night. Example number two, Lawrence McKinney. He was 22 years old in 1977. Why is that important? Well, Lawrence McKinney was wrongly accused of rape and was sent to prison in 1978. He was convicted of rape and burglary charges and sentenced to 115 years in jail. So, a Memphis woman was raped in her home by two intruders. She later identified him, her neighbor, said he did it. He was convicted. DNA cleared him of the charges in 2008. And he was then released in 2009. The Tennessee Department of Corrections gave him a $75 check to restart his life. 31 years is $75. Hey, get it cracking. Get your life together, man. Now, you know, because he had no ID, took him 3 months before he was able to cash it. 61 years old, and he's asking Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam to exonerate him. The Tennessee Board of Parole, which makes recommendations to the governor, denied McKinney's request by a 7-0 vote at a hearing in September. And it's because he's asking for $1 million in compensation. You know, he'd be eligible to receive that if Governor McKinney exonerates him. And of course, the Board of Parole would not recommend him for exoneration. Now, Groundhog Day. 31 years in jail. 31 years in jail. He's exonerated. They give him $75. So if we say $75 divided by 31 equals $2.42 a year. That's what he got. Now, if we go $1 million divided by 31, that equals $32,258 a year, which is a reasonable expectation of what he would have been making a year. $32,000, $258 a year. At $32,000 a year, what he reasonably would have been making a year. Not, I mean, let's just think about that. I mean, because people are looking at it like, oh, $1 million. But remember, he lost 31 years of his life. 31 years of his life. And so $32,000 a year is what he, if he has a regular job, you know, regular working job, working wage, that's about right. I mean, after taxes, shit, it's not really a lot. After taxes, what, you'll have about 28, 29. It's not like he's trying to break the bank or anything. It's not anything that's unreasonable. It's what he would have made in his lifetime. I mean, because when you think about it, after 30-some years, you most of us, if you work regular jobs, you've made about $1 million or so in your life. Some of us more. Some of us less. But, I mean, you know, that $1 million is, you know, he lost his youth. He lost the chance of marriage and family, kids, grandkids, all that regular stuff you can do, vacations in Bahama, going to Vegas and doing all kinds of bad stuff and forgetting that you did it. And coming home, what happened in Vegas? Oh, man, I was just chilling at the pool. You know, he lost the chance at all of that. All of that's gone. And, you know, for them, it's just, well, hey, he wants $1 million. The humanity. Now, I can go racial and say, well, hey, you know, it's just a black man. It's what black people get. You know, because when we talk about the reparations, you know, the reparations in the day was 40 acres and a mule. That's what was put on the table, like that was a lot. It's not actually a lot. But, I mean, the concept is you and your people worked for free for a certain amount of years. And, I mean, he basically was in prison for a certain amount of years and didn't have a chance to earn, and I mean, and all that he could have been is gone. I mean, he can still live his life and do some things, but quality of life at 61 is way different than quality of life at 21 and what you can do and all you miss out on. Man, it's crazy. We're talking about, and I think we need to humanize this. You know, as I said, the vacations, the chance to, you have kids, to bond with your kids, do vacations, do things like watch them ride the bike for the first time, watch them just their first date, give them all that stuff that you miss out on that we take for granted that we do as parents. He lost all that, and he got $75 for being wrongly accused. Groundhog Day. But hey, I guess that's the reasonable expectation nowadays. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. And I'm out. I'll catch y'all on the flip side. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.